Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up whatever you want. All you have to do is dial toll-free, and that is where you can take control of the airwaves. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. And those Discord rooms allow you to sound almost like you're sitting here in the studio with us. And tonight, the us in the studio includes me, Ian.
And Chris.
And nobody.
And of course, you can bring up whatever you want. That is the point of this program. Again, the number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. We're going to get into the news. There's stuff worth talking about here tonight. And since we've got you guys on tonight, and you guys are the hosts of Freedom Decrypted, a show that you started, Chris, more than a year ago now. You celebrated your first year over the summer. Congratulations.
That's correct.
You guys talk about freedom
related. Happy anniversary, Chris.
Well, it's a little late. I wished him happy anniversary this summer, but you know, it's important to point out a show that can pass a year is better than most shows, because most shows that people start online don't even last 6 months. It's just a hobby for somebody, and then they get another hobby.
It is. It's very much a hobby, but it's also a very interesting show that I think is, at least for me, it's worth doing. We're beginning to grow a user base, or a listenership, and
great.
It's just getting more and more interesting.
You're getting a boat?
Listenership?
Yeah. right.
So you guys are over at freedomdecrypted.com, and obviously you have opinions about technology.
Oh, absolutely.
You come at it from a pro-freedom, maybe a libertarian or voluntarist perspective.
I definitely think I would describe it as, especially to a libertarian audience, I would describe it as a libertarian show. But otherwise, I would describe it as a freedom show, just because some people don't necessarily like the term libertarian. So
sure,
I will refrain from using that and just simply describe it as a freedom oriented show, tech show.
So I figure you're going to have an opinion about the latest news about Google, because they're Google and people talk about them because decisions they make have effects on people's lives. In this case, it sounds like they might be making the right decision, but I am curious as to what you will have to say about the news that Google is apparently launching an encrypted DNS. Now, we have to define what DNS actually is for listeners who are new to technology or have never heard of DNS before. And which of you would like to take a crack at defining DNS?
Well, DNS is the domain name service. It operates on UDP port 53. And basically, when you want to look up a name, let's say you want to go to Facebook.com.
No, you don't do that. You want to go to freetalklive.com.
Okay, you want to go to freetalklive.com. So basically, you need to find out where that is.
Right, on the internet.
So you send that name out to a DNS server.
Because on the internet,
and it sends you back an IP address,
right. That's
which
what
is
the internet's
more or
based
less
on
a longitude and latitude.
The numbers.
Yeah, it's like it's basically the system that's used for a computer to find out where the location of something or how
right,
to route
it. It helps a person. I've heard it defined as the internet phone book, where you type in the name of the website you want, and it goes to the DNS server. Usually it goes to the one that is provided by your internet service provider. Unless
right.
you have instructed your router to do something different, it's going to go.
And even when you have instructed it to do something different, sometimes ISPs will intercept those other DNSs because they're
it's not encrypted.
A normal DNS because it's not encrypted, so that they can manipulate your traffic still.
Yeah, your ISP, if they want you to make, to go back to an earlier sentence, if they want to make people who try to go to freetalklive.com end up at facebook.com,
they can do that.
Right. Now, one of the things that's good about when you have HTTPS is that there is a certificate. So if you were to get redirected to the wrong page or the wrong server effectively because of manipulation, you would get a warning message. Usually, unless of course those the certificate system is compromised, which we all know it's a very imperfect system, unfortunately.
Yeah, I hate the way they generate certificates. PGP is so much more elegant.
That might be, but it's, I have to say the system that we have is a lot easier than GPG is from a usability standpoint.
Well, that's usually the trade-off.
True.
Usually,
right. Probably
you,
true.
Usually you trade off usability. You get more usability in return for a less secure system, right?
And like, if you build a system that even a fool can use, only a fool would want to use it.
Yeah, it's not that we can't make more secure systems that are easy to use. It's just that it's a kind of a hard problem to solve. And then even once you solve it, you have to get people to adopt it, and people don't necessarily understand the benefits of a more secure system.
Nope.
And it's also against the interests of governments and ISPs, as this article I think is going to get into here.
So have you heard about this Google DNS thing?
I have, and Mozilla is doing something similar as well. So,
and Mozilla is the company behind Firefox.
Right, and so it's, I don't know if I actually read the Google specific story.
It mentions,
but I definitely,
Mozilla in this one.
Right,
too.
I definitely read the Mozilla version of the story, and it's interesting how the contrast of like the criticisms, I think, between the two different companies doing something similar.
Well, the thing is, it wouldn't bother me if Google wrote the code that went in Chrome to do the DNS lookups, but I would very much hesitate to point myself at a Google name server just because we know that Google and Facebook collect any information they can.
Right. Just because they're encrypting it.
You don't know why it might be useful to them, but it might be.
Right. The
encryption. They have to decrypt your request before they can answer.
This is, right. So the only thing it would protect you from is your ISP knowing where you're going.
This is a double-edged sword, right? Yeah. Because basically you get the benefits of thwarting censorship in countries like the United Kingdom, potentially, and other countries that have censorship systems built in.
Right. If the country has told their ISPs, do not allow people to go to these websites, this would be a workaround for
them. Exactly, this basically will be built into the browser, so that's a good thing, except they're talking about not building it into the browser in Firefox for the UK edition
of
Firefox.
It shouldn't be built into the browser. It should be an operating system.
It probably
service
should be,
so it
but
can be used across
I
multiple
agree
applications.
Unfortunately, I don't see Microsoft doing that, and I have yet to hear of any.
Well, I don't care what Microsoft does. I'm not going to be running their code.
Google already offers a DNS service.
That's
it's
true,
what,
but it's
isn't there 8.8.8.8? Well, right, but they're talking about encrypting it.
Right, in the story. Now, I'm assuming that would also be available with encryption. Presumably, it's not like going to block you if you're using some other application to send their DNS requests. But
when you set up your VPN, does your VPN...
Virtual private network.
Virtual private network. Do you have
very
a name
question
service available across your VPN, and does that get automatically put in the proper place to make clients talk to it?
So that's an interesting question. So the way it works with our setup is we actually direct users to use a third-party DNS provider that's not us.
Who do you recommend?
I'm not necessarily saying they're the best choice, and I can't even remember the name of it's like a nonprofit organization.
Yeah, we recommend
that runs
a bad service we've never heard of.
Is it OpenDNS?
No, it's not OpenDNS, because OpenDNS censors their results.
Do they?
That
doesn't sound very open.
Yeah, well, basically, so this is why we're using a third party that believes in privacy and everything else. And we wanted
to find out who that
independent
is
of us.
So you can promote them.
Well, yeah, off the top of my head, I can't recall.
Look
but,
it up.
Well, generally, my solution would be, I generally run my own name server on my own system.
Oh, do you? Okay.
And most
really
Xboxes do. I guess maybe not.
I don't think you're thinking of the same thing.
There's various ways to proxy name service.
Are you talking about like the DNS caching that the system does?
There's caching in the system, but I generally run...
Like on a default install, you're saying?
DJB DNS.
I think we're getting too far into the weeds here, gentlemen.
I agree.
let's keep it more general audience, if we can.
Well, basically, the best solution that I know of is to assume that all DNS providers are compromised, talk to several of them, and make sure they're all giving you the same answers.
Well, that doesn't sound like the average person could really implement something like that.
Once somebody wrote the server to do it, anybody could run the server.
Well, that's the question. Is this an
writing
option?
Writing it is harder than writing.
Is this already option built that's in there that you just have to enable somewhere? Or
I mean, certainly it happens.
Hold that thought. We're going to continue here. 855, 450, free. Turns out the government is angry at Google for its talk about... Yeah! This is Free Talk Live. You're invited to join us if you want to take control of the airwaves. This is the place where you can do that. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms. They're open and available to you, and they sound great compared to normal phone lines. The Discord rooms are over at discord.lrn.fm. In the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
And Chris.
And the nobody formerly known as Rich Paul.
We're starting out with some internet-related topics. We're discussing whether or not Google is going to be doing what they call encrypted DNS, why that matters, and apparently the government's mad about it. We'll tell you
about
that.
Well, the government wants to be able to watch our traffic. I don't know why they say they're mad about it, but that's why they're mad about it.
Well, for sure.
If this is centralizing, which is what it's doing, it would make it easier for them to actually mess with the traffic.
Yeah.
So I think this is a double-edged sword. It's not, you know, I like the idea of encrypting the traffic, but I don't necessarily think, and I think in some circumstances this may work for, you know, maybe governments or in countries where governments don't necessarily have as much control over Mozilla and Google, but in other countries, like maybe the United States.
Well, Google's more than happy to help the government. So,
yeah,
I mean,
it's not necessarily a good thing.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to protect you from the government watching what you do.
No,
they're just going to go to Google and say, give us all the results for Chris.
If you want to avoid the government, go to the smallest companies you can find. Because
go outside of the U.S.
Or go outside of the, but they're not above doing the same kind of things outside the U.S.
True, but a foreign company is less likely to respond to a U.S. government police request.
Well, that's definitely true. They're less likely to be. To be friendly to it, but even then, you know, if you're concerned about your tariffs and Trump is saying, well, I can exempt your one product from the tariffs, then most companies are going to do that. The one company that I really wanted to buy stuff from was Hawaii because they were actively at war with the U.S. government.
I don't think that put a tariff on data crossing borders? Have they ever done that before?
As a matter of fact, Europe is trying to do it to big data right now. The European Union is trying to tax Facebook and Google.
By the gigabyte or something? How are they going to do it?
So what you're talking about is a little bit different. What I'm thinking of,
they're not taxing the bandwidth directly.
They're trying to tax financial transactions. So every transaction you make is what they're trying to do. And I don't know what you're talking about. It's a little bit different. That's like basically passing a law that specifically only targets companies making a certain amount of money in like a certain sector or something like that. I don't know what the details of that are. I might not be quite describing it right, but that's effectively what it is.
So they want Facebook to collect a tax on any time somebody does a Facebook. They get some sort of money system on Facebook.
Yeah,
right?
When people send money, is that all they wanted to tax?
It's like every transaction that goes through your bank account effectively would be taxed at like half a percent or
revenue.
It's every transaction from what I understand. So if you make a lot of small transactions, that could be a real issue.
There's people paying each other on Facebook, I presume, all the time.
Yeah, and every one of those transactions would be taxed.
I got $100 that way once.
If you move money from one bank account to another bank account, you'd be taxed on that transaction.
Doesn't Facebook have a marketplace feature where there's
Facebook has a marketplace, but it doesn't use a currency and it doesn't have built-in payment features.
Oh, really? Okay.
There is built into Facebook Messenger, though, a send money option. And somebody actually did that for me when I was in jail. I got a $100 gift through Facebook. And the way that played out is they mailed me a Discover card, a Discover debit card.
Wow.
That is presumably still attached to my Facebook account, but that was the only time anybody ever sent me money.
Huh.
So once they've done it once, they don't have to keep sending you cards.
Right, they'll just reload the existing card. Well, I mean,
but I don't think Facebook ever holds the money. I'm guessing that their banking partners are doing all
for
of
now.
That.
But once Facebook launches its own so-called cryptocurrency, that could change.
It could. Yeah. I don't think they're going to launch the currency because I don't think the governments of the world will permit it.
It's easier to control corporations, I think, than it is.
Well, I mean, it won't be any skin off my back if they don't do it. I mean, okay.
Well, the thing is, the wonderful thing about their doing it would be the ability to use that Facebook payment system and suck money off your credit card and then turn it into Libra or whatever, send it to an exchange and trade it for a real crypto.
All right, guys, let's go to the phones here. We can talk more about technology and such. Calvin, though, is on the line in Missouri. Calvin, you're on Free Talk Live, listening online.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hey.
Ian, Chris, and nobody.
Welcome. Go ahead.
Thanks.
Well, before I get started, may I make a suggestion? Instead of voting for nobody, how about not voting for everybody?
Objections? The problem with that is it does nothing.
Mm.
And if you do nothing, you'll get nothing.
That's the intention.
Well, then, okay, do nothing then.
Well, the problem is if we do nothing, then the people who do choose to vote end up in control of the massive stockpile of weaponry and firepower that is the U.S. government, and once they control those weapons, they can easily use them to kill us.
I think it's an easy excuse not to vote when you start going down that line.
As far as voting is concerned, Mark, who's one of our regular co-hosts, is right that it's in most cases statistically insignificant. At the national level, your vote really doesn't mean anything whatsoever.
Which is what doesn't freak me out about it.
Writing in Mickey Mouse, I think, would be more effective than not voting.
But in the local elections, one vote can make a difference, and it has made a difference in local elections here in New Hampshire. So,
didn't we have a guy who lost by like 3 votes?
There was also a tax issue in a nearby town that passed by one vote. That one vote could have stopped.
Yeah. The thing is, I think that people have to remember is it's not that your one vote is insignificant, but your comment, your essential, how do I say this? But the people that you agree with combined is not necessarily insignificant. So if you choose not to vote, you're only hurting your particular perspective on
And the most important thing to me is really the communications effect of it. Every time the number of libertarian vote, I mean, when people hear about libertarianism, maybe they think, hey, this sounds like good stuff. Maybe we should do this. Maybe we should get rid of the government and be free. How many people believe that? Oh, well, Gary Johnson got 2% in the last election. So the number of people who believe in libertarianism is negligible, and there's no point in investing in those ideas because they will never be carried out. Now, if you saw a 20%.
Yeah, but that's at the national level.
Well, libertarians don't do much better at the local level.
Well, I don't.
They rarely get more than 3% in a three-way race.
I wouldn't disagree with you there, but we also don't have, even where we have a significant libertarian population, we're still a small minority of the overall population.
Certainly.
Right. But the more of us who go out and vote, the more we puff that and appear to be bigger than we are, the more people are going to take the time to read something about libertarianism and find out what it means.
There's a potential for us to have a disproportional impact. Now, whether or not we are...
If we're willing to be disproportionately dedicated. Right,
Calvin, hold on. I realize we just went off here, so I want to give you a chance to come back and respond to this.
Is he still there?
He's still there. He was listening very patiently as
say
we continued
to Hobbs for me.
To ramble here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. We'll talk about non-voting and why it's not a strategy to do anything of success. 855-450-FREE, like freedom, is our number. And yes, it is important to puff up the numbers, which is why we need libertarian types to move to New Hampshire so we can have a larger portion of the population in a small geographic. I want to tell you about my favorite cryptocurrency wallet, Edge Wallet, at edge.app. Edge is the wallet I use more than any other, and that was true long before Edge Wallet became a sponsor of Free Talk Live. Edge Wallet allows you to buy, sell, trade, and securely hold your cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin, Ethereum, tokens, Monero, Ripple, Dash, Bitcoin Cash, and more. It's available for both Android and iOS, and you can download it via the Play or App Store or via Edge Wallet's website, edge.app. Secure your freedom with Edge Wallet. It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms at discord.lrn.fm. Jump into one of those. You'll sound great. Whether you want to talk about encryption on a DNS service and what that means, or voting, as our current caller, or who we're going to bring back on the line here in just a moment, brought up tonight. It's Ian, Chris, and nobody in the studio tonight, but I also want to make sure you know about HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com. I was just out and had some dinner at the local Indian restaurant here in town that takes cryptocurrency, and I was able to use the AnyPay platform to accept my Bitcoin Cash. You can spend different cryptos through AnyPay. They've got Bitcoin, Dash, Bitcoin Cash. You can go to helpmetakebitcoin.com if you're a business owner and you want to start taking cryptocurrency. Maybe you don't know anything about Bitcoin. They will walk you through step by step the process of installing your own cryptocurrency wallet and then linking it to helpmetakebitcoin.com through the AnyPay system there, to make it super easy for you to accept crypto at your point of sale, whether that be in a storefront or whether that be in your pocket. If you're a service provider, maybe you're a plumber or something like that, going house to house, and you want to take crypto from your customers, you can just have this app on your phone. It's very simple. There's apps for iOS and Android or any web browser. HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com. There's no ID verification. There's no paperwork, no nonsense when it comes to signing up and get started. And it's free to accept crypto, unlike pretty much every other service that competes with AnyPay. All the other ones are charging for that service, so you can do it for free through HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com. That's HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com. Let's bring Calvin back on the line here. Calvin, you'd called in talking about the issue of voting. You seem like you're somebody who supports not voting whatsoever, and I want to hear your pitch. Like, you're up against three guys who are, Chris, you're not running for office, but your partner is.
Yeah, Bob
and of course, nobody, you're running for mayor. I'm in the city council race here in Keene, New Hampshire, so we're all participants in the political system here. What's your reasoning for not voting, Calvin, or for advocating for that?
Well, I did call in to discuss the DNS topic, but what I wanted to mention with not voting is that Taoism, which is Eastern philosophy's equivalent to the Western anarchist philosophy, suggests that by doing nothing, nothing is left undone. And I think that's reflected in anarchist philosophy, in that you don't want to empower the system that's oppressing. So it's pretty much tend to I'm sorry?
How is that empowering, the status quo? It doesn't. It's not voting is empowering them, if anything.
Well, it's legitimizing the system of government.
How is it legitimizing? Yeah. I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt. Go ahead and finish your sentence, bro.
Well, it's legitimizing the system of oppression by participating in it. It's like the slaves partaking in the institution of slavery to free themselves. So,
do you pay taxes?
I better. Reluctantly, yes.
You're legitimizing the system. Not only are you legitimizing it, but you're actually funding the system of oppression.
Well, that much is true, but I don't pay them willingly. It's kind of a gun in our head. Very few people pay taxes voluntarily.
So I have a question. So anybody actually come to your house with a gun to your head for not paying taxes?
Well, the threat is great enough to force the action.
Millions of people don't pay taxes. Millions of them. Every single year in the United States, and most of them get away with it.
Yeah. I've only filed 1 year since 2009. Since 2000, the only reason I filed that 1 year is because they had withheld some money, and it was like, okay, well, I can get it back by doing this, and otherwise I leave it in government hands, so I'm going to take it.
It seems like a poor argument to make if you're paying taxes, but if I could kind of follow if you're not paying taxes, maybe.
But almost everybody, when you talk to the non-voting advocates, if you ask them that question, because they always bring up the objection of, you're legitimizing the system. And my next question is always, well, do you pay taxes? And their answer is always yes.
Yeah.
And they always complain about how they don't like doing it, but they're scared of the government. So really, I mean, if you want to make an impact, why don't you go all the way with non-compliance?
That's not to say that I pay all taxes, but...
Sure. You can avoid the ones that are easy to avoid. Yeah, but here's the thing.
I take your point.
You're doing more damage than somebody who goes out to vote. Voting is relatively insignificant, but you are actually funding the machine that is oppressing you, and yet you're calling up to act like not voting is somehow some sort of a progress.
Well,
I will say to that extent that I am minimizing my impact on funding and minimizing it greatly. So it's not, and the taxes that I am forced to pay, I'm not doing so with a smile on my face either. So it's, again, a gun to the head situation.
Yeah, and personally, I mean, I'm not going to judge you either way you go on taxes. I'm not going to judge you either way you go on voting, because we all have our own set of trade-offs that we make.
I pay property tax for the church.
I mean, we all make those trade-offs, because if we don't, they'll kill us, and then we won't have any choices left.
I will be critical, but only if you're going to make the argument that voting, contributes and
legitimizes.
Right, legitimizes it. But then, you also pay your taxes, because that just doesn't make any sense.
So if you're paying taxes because there's a gun to your head, if you're paying taxes because there's a gun to your head and the government is the gun in the room, it's the violence that backs the system, then why not go ahead and vote, since there's a gun to your head? If you could reduce the burden on the people who are being forced to pay taxes, and sometimes there are tax issues up for a vote where you can actually vote against a proposed tax increase, aren't you essentially...
Or you can choose to vote for nobody instead of voting for Sununu and get a tax cut that way, if enough people
New
do
Hampshire
it.
I don't have a problem with people going out and voting for basically effectively nobody who's going to win, because at least that's doing making a statement of some kind, saying, hey, there is this alternative block where people object, which will encourage more people to vote. But if you don't do anything, then you're just contributing to your own.
And I don't think our candidates, I mean, outside of New Hampshire, where our candidates actually do get elected sometimes, I don't think our candidates are necessarily going to win, but I think it does have a good public relations effect if you go in and make a vote that's going to be interpreted as voting no.
Yeah.
And that can be voting for nobody. It can be voting for the Libertarian Party. It can be voting for a person that is, if they get that job, is going to do it in exactly the opposite way of the way the powers that be want it done.
I can understand the people who feel like voting doesn't do anything, and I think to some degree they're right, but at the same time, well, that's all the more reason for people to get up and move to New Hampshire and actually join with other people
where
that are like-minded, where it can make a difference, right?
Yeah,
at least if you're a libertarian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Calvin, can I ask how many people you need to convince to stop voting for your plan to work?
Well, it's not any sort of a plan. It's just that, you don't need a plan to object in every way possible to a system.
Doing nothing is an objective.
What, though, do you think, say people followed... Say people followed your advice, okay? And more people stop voting. So right now, I think it's like 80% of the people don't vote. Let's say it goes up.
Well, in a municipal election, it's probably 90%.
7%. we had 7% turnout in one district in Keene last time. So 93% of the people there didn't work, but the government didn't say, well, we're going to leave you guys alone. Nope. Obviously, you don't like us.
They keep
us.
Taxing. They keep creating rules and regulations.
They tax those people more,
and the crazy thing is
they're disposable from the politician's point of view.
The crazy thing is this low turnout actually is potentially beneficial to minority parties, because if we get a majority of our minority to actually go out and vote when the competition isn't,
you can have a large
end up having a disproportionate impact.
What we need is a minority with a lot of weaponized autism going on, who are going to go out there and do everything they can possibly do. And don't get me wrong, I don't think that actually electing candidates is the thing that's going to make us free.
No.
I think that getting more people involved in a fight for liberty will lead to a lot more discontented people.
Yeah, you've got to have numbers.
You've got to start somewhere.
Yeah, you've got to have numbers if you want to have any kind of an effect, and not doing anything isn't going to send a message to anyone.
Yeah.
You're just not going to be paid attention to at all.
There's all
coming
sorts
up
of
here in moments. This is Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. Toll-free number 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. I actually held on to Calvin because it's an interesting conversation. It's one that inevitably we will continue to have as more, and I think it comes from as more libertarians get frustrated, right? Like, I think the whole non-voting drive for these libertarians comes from the failure. Right. Oh, they failed again. They failed again. The libertarians failed to get more than, and I'm talking local elections here. They failed to get 2%, 3%. And it just it feels like banging your head up against a wall. And I wouldn't blame anybody who's just like, you know what, screw it.
The only person who should feel like that is somebody who has unrealistic expectations about what can be achieved, you know, given a certain amount of time. Nobody.
Well, it's been decades.
Decades. Yeah, but you're talking about a migration movement.
I'm not talking about migration. I'm talking about libertarians outside of New Hampshire. Their frustration.
Oh, right.
If you're in New Hampshire, you shouldn't be frustrated because we're winning elections here.
But there are people who have unrealistic expectations who have moved to New Hampshire. And that's what
they think it's going to happen next week. It's going to happen slow.
Those people think the state is going to fail next week. They think they're going to bring the whole system down because a bunch of us are here together. And the fact is it takes a long time.
Right.
But I think where people like Calvin are coming from, and we're going to bring it back on here in a moment, because he also did want to talk about DNS.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can get back into that. But I think it comes from that frustration of just failure after failure after failure, where people at some point just want to throw up their hands in disgust and say, you know what, I'm just going to forget about, you know, trying to work within the system. I'm going to focus on my own life, try to live as free as I possibly can. And I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with that. On the other hand, if you think that not voting is going to somehow bring the system down, I think that's the point you were making earlier, Nobody, is you can actually find elections where no one voted. This does happen.
What?
If you want to bring the government down, I would say don't stop voting. Here's what you do. Quit your job, go on welfare, run an agorist business. Suck as much money out of the government as you possibly can, give them none back, and provide something useful to your neighbors. Mm.
So, to answer your question, there are some smaller towns, usually a smaller town is when you see this,
okay,
where in some cases, not even the candidates themselves bothered to show up to vote. And you know what happens? As you said before, Nobody, even on, like in lower turnout ones, the government continues. In zero turnout elections, the government continues.
How can it be zero turnout if, I mean, don't the election workers themselves take 5 minutes
apparently
while they're sitting there alone all day to pass the vote?
I guess they didn't. I don't know. Or maybe it's a mail-in vote or something. I don't know. But nobody.
Maybe they don't let election workers work in their own district?
No, that doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
But either way, there have been news stories about this happening. And what happens?
Huh.
Somebody gets elected through like a flip of the coin. They have systems for this. The people who wrote the laws about the voting systems figured, well, what if no one shows up? Well, we'll have a coin toss. Or you'll draw straws. There's some sort of system that they've got. So somebody gets elected and the tax bills get sent out, and those people who didn't vote, you damn well better believe, just like Calvin, they're paying those taxes, and that's what keeps the system running. It's the obedience that keeps the system running. Anyway, Calvin, any more thoughts on voting? Otherwise, we can go to DNS.
Well, I just want to respond with my subtle suggestion isn't coming from a place of frustration out of failure. It's coming from many hours of a deep contemplation. So I just want to make that part clear. But nonetheless, it was just a subtle suggestion to my main topic of why I wanted to call in.
Well, hold on. Before you go on, I got to respond to that one. And that is to say that if libertarians, actual libertarians, like principled pro-freedom people, were winning election in your area, would you still feel the same way about not participating? If they were rolling back the government, if they were ending government programs, if tax burdens were coming down, sort of this libertarian fantasy, if that were actually happening in front of your face, would you still have come to the same conclusion?
This might come as a shock to the host and some of the listeners, but yes, I would still have the same suggestion.
Well, good luck convincing other people to go along with the plan.
I've got a question for you. Do you think that the system,
everyone else, is just it is really just a subtle suggestion?
Even presented with
there's no plan or campaign that I'm waging. It's just a suggestion.
Okay.
Even
I've got one question for you. Do you consider the system to be illegitimate?
I think it's shown itself to be very hypocritical, and I think I find things that are contradictory and hypocritical to be on their face illegitimate.
Okay.
Would you disagree?
No, I would agree. I think that it is legitimate. Now, tell me this. How many votes would have to be cast before it became legitimate?
I didn't say that I thought that it was legitimate or they.
Well, I know you don't. But the question is there a certain number where if 98% of people vote, the system becomes legitimate? if 99% of people vote, is the system legitimate?
So if 98 or 99% of people thought something was right when it was actually wrong, does it make it right? I don't think so.
Okay. So that would then, your answers tell me that voting does not legitimize the system, because no matter how much you vote, the system remains illegitimate.
Yeah, yeah. I don't understand how you can continue to, you know, have this philosophy when, you know, the evidence contradicts what you're saying. I mean, when the system continues on, regardless whether or not anybody votes.
You ever been to New Hampshire, bro?
I have a few times, a couple pork fests.
Is this Calvin from Mark Stevens, Calvin?
That's right.
Oh, hey, man. Oh.
I didn't know this was somebody we do.
Hey, I figured it was him earlier on, but I haven't heard from you in a long time. It's been a long time.
It has been a while. I'm trying to get reactivated on the Shire Society forums. I'm running into some trouble, but that's an issue for another time.
Okay, well, send me an email about it.
Yeah, get in touch on Discord or something. We'll make that happen
for
you.
All right, make your point about DNS.
Sure, maybe I'll open a thread on the voting topic. But with the DNS, and you guys have alluded to this a few times through the program, is with blockchaining. There are a few blockchain solutions for DNS. And the reason why this is such a huge problem is because DNS, the domain name service, is one of the weak points of security in the Internet, where a lot of espionage and interception takes place. So I'd like to see more developed in the way of using decentralized solutions to this rate, because this is one of the few points of the internet which is still centralized and one of the most vulnerable. So I just doing a quick DuckDuckGo search, I was able to find a blockchain DNS, and they have extensions for Chrome and Firefox browsers, but that might be a solution to consider.
Now, are you talking about like Namecoin and some of these other...
Namecoin is an implementation of DNS, I believe.
Yeah, I think he's right. Like, ultimately, we do need to move in that direction, and I think the place that we have the best chance of that happening is through the browser.
I don't think though, the problem
is... Well, the nice thing about Namecoin is it gets us out from under registrars. Uh-huh. It gets us out under licensees, people who can do special things that other people can't do. I'm
skeptical that, you know, Mozilla or Google or any of the major browser companies are going to do that.
They're going to support
it. Well, their source is out there, so if we do it, they can't stop us.
That's true, but unfortunately, if you don't have, you know, at least the major browsers on board with, you know, some sort of decentralized DNS system built into the browser, I mean, you're basically getting
going
a domain
nowhere.
And nobody's going to be able to access it still.
Yeah, that's one of the
problems.
The
thing is, there's like half a dozen C functions that are used for DNS. You can rewrite those half dozen functions to go talk to Namecoin in a shared library, and the browser doesn't have to know or care what you're doing.
Well, I'll tell you this about the decentralized options. There are a couple of them now. I heard that Ethereum may have one as well. I think that's been in the news. One of the major ones has one. I don't think the market has really sussed out who the winner is going to be of this. I remember years ago.
Oh no, we haven't even figured out who the winner on transferring value is.
It's like this. These alternative DNSs have been tried time and time again. Not necessarily decentralized DNSs, but just alternative DNSs for like different domain extensions, and they failed again and again and again. So trying to, you know, get this adopted, it really has to be an initiative of Mozilla, probably, because I don't think Google's going to do it, and I don't think Microsoft certainly isn't going to do it. And who else is even out there?
Well, if somebody finds me a big old bottle of Riddle and I can fix it for you, make it do whatever the heck you want it to.
Hey, Calvin, thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. So if the market were to decide that Namecoin is the best decentralized solution, or this, you know, one of the other ones is the best one, then maybe we would see some action on it. But the last time I tried Namecoin was, to be fair, it was several years ago. Yeah. It was clunky. It was hard to handle. It was not something that the average person could go in there. And
can it even scale?
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to these questions.
They
maybe
need
can,
a lot of work. They need a lot of work.
I think the idea is a wonderful thing.
Good idea,
and decentralized name service is essential. How big do you think the DNS database for the whole internet would be if you threw it on one hard drive?
I don't think it's going to be that big, to be honest. But
a couple of terabytes?
Yeah, I think
most?
It could be decentralized, probably. I just don't, you know, I don't
know.
So
why not just build the whole thing into one database and share it by torrent?
The toll-free number tonight is 855-450-FREE. You can join us here on the radio. We can talk about net neutrality coming up.
You love Bitcoin. It's the future, right? Well, no, not if everyone stops using it. I mean, think about it. How many places in your town take Bitcoin? One? None? Let's be real. If this Bitcoin thing is ever going to happen, it's going to need your help. The good news is, the guys at AnyPay have your back. We built a website called helpmetakebitcoin.com, and it's a place you can send any business, and they'll be set up to take Bitcoin in 5 minutes. helpmetakebitcoin.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms. They're over at discord.lrn.fm. You jump into one of those, and you will sound almost like you're sitting here in the studio with us tonight. You've got Ian here.
And Chris.
And nobody.
We're going to go back into your phone calls and thoughts. And then I like to do a little more techie kind of issues on this night because you guys are the hosts of Freedom Decrypted, which is a different show that airs on Saturday. It's actually primarily a video program, but you also have an audio feed, MP3.
Yeah, there's a podcast.
Well, silent podcasts are none too popular.
Indeed. Or silent video casts.
Yeah, silent video casts.
So check them out at freedomdecrypted.com. But also we can talk about net neutrality. We were discussing the encrypted DNS idea. Ended up having like a 2.5 segment long discussion about voting and non-voting. But Olivia is on the line to start things out here in hour number two. She's calling from Arizona, watching us on YouTube. Go ahead, Olivia.
First of all, I've got to compliment y'all's hoodies because they look pretty fly.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate that.
You got.
She complimented your hoodie.
Oh, thank you.
Yes,
it's from Wormtown.
Second of all, yeah, I don't understand these people who are like, well, I'm not going to throw my vote away. How are we ever going to gain traction if nobody will vote, right?
Well, look, it's not all about voting. I mean, one thing that the non-voters are right about is that voting is relatively insignificant.
It's not enough. It'll never be enough.
Right. What is significant is getting numbers of people together. Now, if you have enough numbers, if you have enough raw numbers, not only can you have an effect on the voting system, but you can also affect other things like the sort of the mentality of the community. If there's enough people who are libertarian-minded in a given geographic area, then all of a sudden the ideas that we have, which previously were fringe, will no longer be fringe. They'll become mainstream. And if you can get the libertarian ideas to become mainstream, then the mainstreamers, the people who just, you know, want to go to work and come home and, you know, smoke a joint or drink a beer and watch their football game at the end of the day, then they're going to be like, oh yeah, I always agreed with you guys. Even though they never did anything to help us, they'll come on board with it and they'll say, oh yeah, you guys have always been right. Thanks for being there.
Right, and that can influence effect. A lot of people go where the power is.
And that can influence the people who do get to power too, right? So it's not...
It can.
Yeah, even though it's, you know, we're not winning our own politicians into the House or whatever. We are in New Hampshire, but...
But as Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah, right.
Because it's easier to win that way. And
right.
They
right.
are winning that way. The other thing that numbers can help you with.
Well, the thing that I'd really like to see happen is have enough of us get elected at Democrats and as Democrats and Republicans that we can unrig the electoral system and then have a third of the New Hampshire House change its party affiliation to libertarian.
Oh, no. I have an even better idea than that. What if we had them rename like the Democrat and Republican to libertarian?
Nah, that's never going to happen.
Oh, but if you had control over the party, you could do it.
You could, but it would be kind of it'd be symbolic at that point because, again, it's all about numbers. Yeah. Once you get enough people.
I think
people,
the National Party would disassociate you at that point.
Once you get enough people, you solve your problem.
Look, as we saw with also civil disobedience, it's all about numbers. We just had last weekend the 10th anniversary of the Keene 420 rallies. All three of us were there for it. You know, we had 15 people, so about a tenth of what we had at peak during 10 years ago. But that the fact
well,
is,
then again, I it took about 3 months to get up to 150.
Right.
It took not 3 months, but
it took a lot of weeks of work,
and it took three people. At it.
The amount of effort that was put into this past 420 that wasn't It wasn't even, well, the rally, I don't know what you want to call it, but it wasn't a lot. So I don't think it's
last minute.
Yeah, last minute kind of stuff like that. We had quite a few people turn out until
like a month before, and there weren't very many resources to promote it with. A little bit.
It was just the 10th anniversary thing. But the point I'm trying to make here is if you have numbers, then it makes all the difference in the world. Not only do your ideas become legitimized because there's people out there who agree with you, and those people are in workplaces, those people are in churches, those people are in places where other people are, so they're hearing about libertarianism from different places. It's not just the crazy guy on the side of the road with a honk if you hate taxes sign like I was down in Florida when I was all by myself. I got plenty of honks, but not much help.
Right.
I still want to take that picture of me out by the side of the road with the "We'll govern for food" sign, but go ahead.
So not only do you have the ability to influence through just the fact that you're in the community in so many different places and in the media and in workplaces and such, but also if you go out and do civil disobedience with large numbers of people, the police are helpless. They can't do anything about it. So it's all about...
They showed up with a dozen cops when we had 150 people out on the common, and they just stood there.
Yeah.
I think the funniest thing is when you guys went to the police station and smoked up in the police station after somebody was arrested.
Perfect example.
I mean, what could they do? There was nothing. They couldn't... They didn't have 28 of them. That's right.
So it's all about numbers. And unfortunately, libertarians are still distributed throughout the whole country. They, you know, might think the New Hampshire thing is a cool idea, but it's cold there, so they're not really going to come do anything about it. And so instead, they talk about not voting. I mean, really, the fact is you got to get together with other people who have a like mindset, whether that be the Mormons moving into Utah, whether that be the lefties moving into California, the righties moving into Texas. I think there's no better idea than concentrating efforts.
Yeah. And for that matter, even if you don't like the winters here, if you have the resources to snowbird, which is, if you don't know, that's what we call it in Florida when people live in Florida in the winter and up north in the summer. If you have the resources to snowbird, I think you'll find that you really love being around other libertarians on a regular basis. You know, the nice, because when I was surrounded by statists in Ann Arbor, it's like I would be questioning my own sanity. I was like, how can everybody be? Maybe it's not everybody else who's blind. Maybe it's me.
I'm just amazed at how much happier I am just being amongst other people who think like me. You know, it's like it was so depressing in New Jersey, to be honest. Like, you know, like my entire life was like, and I wasn't depressed, but like, it was depressing. You know what I mean? It's like there's nobody who thinks like you. And it's like you're all alone. And then all of a sudden you're amongst all these really awesome people who think like you when you move here. And it's like, and there's people like fighting over the stupidest little tiny differences. Uh-huh. How is that not something worth moving over?
Well, we get spoiled very quickly. There's a running joke about the free divorce project because a lot of married couples move to New Hampshire and then get divorced.
Yep,
and somebody was saying, why is that? And I think what it is you put two libertarians in the same room out in the world and they're like, oh my God, we're like two peas in a pod. We're exactly the same. But then you take those same two libertarians and you put them into a group of 2,000 libertarians, and they say, oh wow, there's like half a dozen people better suited to me than this person I thought was perfect for me, because I was looking at them in comparison to with others. This deranged place where I'm living.
All right, Olivia, go ahead.
Oh wow, no, that was really interesting and well said. I was going to ask about the Shire Free Church, because I consider it my church. I like it. We meet every day, and this is kind of a spiritual experience for me. And I saw a John Oliver segment that was hilarious about how he set up his own church. So I'm like, what is the deal? Why is my church not tax-exempt recognized? I feel very discriminated against.
My church is tax-exempt.
All churches are supposed to be tax-exempt.
And tax-deductible.
Is that in New Hampshire or
nationwide?
That's nationwide. That's the
right to freedom to religion.
Interesting.
The IRS is actually pretty good from what I understand about respecting churches. Local government, however, here in Keene, New Hampshire, is not so good about it. They're going to make us fight in court in order to defeat them, and it would be an incredibly costly exercise.
See, I think the hilarious thing would be to bring in a ringer, somebody nobody knows is a free stater, have them start a Christian church, And then once he has all the tax exemptions and such, have him at a change of faith and become an invisible hander. Uh-huh. And it's like, oh, wait, you said I was tax deductible when we were Christians, but now we've changed to deism and we're not tax deductible again? How does that work?
Yeah, exactly. But in order to do that, even in that case, you'd still have to have an attorney take the case to court. Yeah. And it's hard as hell to find attorneys who are willing to take on the state like that. I've looked for them. And Olivia, thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. Thanks for the kind words. You're talking about the Shire Free Church, which you can learn more about at church.shiresociety.com. It is the organization that that puts on this radio show. Our number again, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. You can join us on the air here with whatever's on your mind. It's Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. You may join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. That's where you can go if you want to sound almost like you're sitting here in the studio with us. And tonight, the people in the studio include me, Ian.
And Chris.
And nobody.
All right. So I also want to make sure that you know about local.bitcoin.com. It is a global trading platform where you can buy or sell Bitcoin Cash using dozens of payment methods. Now, if you are going to do selling, you do have to be aware some of those payment methods are riskier than others. And on a site where you can sign up anonymously, you do have a bit of a risk of potential scam artists. So you do want to be careful. But if you're a buyer, as long as you're buying from somebody that's got good reputation, you're probably good to go. You can go to local.bitcoin.com to get started there, and there are no ID requirements to sign up for the site, which is awesome. It really sets that site apart from its competition, and communications between buyers and sellers are encrypted. I'm on there. Aria's on there. I know that nobody, you've had an account on there. I don't know if you're active with it
I've
right now.
I've got an account. I've been doing mostly local Bitcoins recently, but I do still have an account, and I will happily sell Bitcoin Cash if you want it.
Local Bitcoins is the big one. That's the one that local.bitcoin.com is competing with. But if you want privacy, do not go to Local Bitcoins. You cannot have it there. There's know your customer requirements that site cracked down upon recently. It was actually just this week that they cracked down
hard. Can you
distinguish
that again for me? It's what versus what?
So it's close. The sites sound very, very similar. One is called localbitcoins.com.
Okay.
That's the old one. That's the one that's been around forever. It's got a ton of
volume.
And
that's the bad one.
They are the ones that have put in know your customer requirements.
Right, so that's bad.
And they just this week cracked down. So for a few months, they'd been letting their users know that this was coming. And this was the week where the hammer came down.
Right,
and
so the good one is?
The one, if you care about privacy, is local.bitcoin.com.
Great.
That's the one where you don't have to show any ID to sign up for the site. And that's what we're promoting here, local.bitcoin.com. Bitcoin.com is our sponsor. The other site is not. You know, the other site's a fine site as long as you don't mind having no privacy whatsoever. And their KYC, their Know Your Customer requirements, are some of the most invasive that I've come across, especially as you go up the chain as far as the different tiers that they have. So if you do a little bit more than just a little bit of selling, you hit the higher tiers, and then it starts to get ridiculous.
Yeah. I've used Local Bitcoin or localbitcoins.com years and years ago, and it worked great.
It was very
different. But this was before
the
KYC.
Yeah. Back then, they actually used to let people connect locally.
Right.
That was where the name came from.
Right.
They got rid of that in January or earlier this year. They just took that functionality completely out of the site. You can no longer use that site to meet somebody in person and go down to McDonald's and exchange cash for crypto.
Now the only thing you can do is deposit money into somebody's bank account? That's how it works?
They still have other methods, like you can get like a prepaid card or like Amazon credits, or there's still other methods.
Okay.
But the thing they cut out was being able to meet someone in physical reality.
Right.
That you cannot do that through that site anymore. You used to be able to set where your location was. And, you know, if you were in a bigger city, there's enough demand Bitcoin.
You'd still be able to do that just with the KYC site stuff.
Not on that site. But they stripped out all the location features. They haven't stripped it out completely because you can still scroll down to the bottom of the page and it'll still show you where you are. But you can't do anything with that data. So they haven't completely removed it from the site, but it's effectively useless for that. So if you care about privacy, you got to get over to local.bitcoin.com. And they're a new site, so this the volume's still relatively low. You're getting in on the ground floor. If you build your reputation now and the site takes off, then it'll be a good thing for you. Let's go back here to actually a question from one of our Discord chatters, Bleda Rasmar. Says as a fellow member of the Shire Free Church, I want to ask what taxes you're having problems with, not federal taxes, but state taxes. How much money do we need to raise to hire a good attorney to fight this?
Excellent question. I've been wanting to see that happen for years.
Well, find the good attorney first, and then we'll talk about what it costs. Because I can tell you, I've looked. There's one guy in New Hampshire who is sort of the go-to freedom of religion attorney, and he will not take the case because he doesn't want to upset the other religions, basically, was what I understood from what he told me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, upset how? Like, because
well, he's
there's
got
a new
clients.
Religion? That
he's got, he's got clients.
I mean, I'm trying to understand how it
you
would upset
understand
your other
that religious clients. Freedom to a lot of Christians means being free to be Christian in exactly the way that I am and nothing else.
All right. So, and this guy might be a Christian. I don't know what
Effectively, he's only willing to represent other Christian groups, like different beliefs, different
that's
sects,
the
I guess.
Impression that I got from what he told me.
Okay.
Like, kind of reading between the lines.
Yeah.
And, you know, it might be one step better than that, where it's like anything that's established in mainstream, he'll go for, but
it's
not
easier.
Something that could be construed as. You know, unusual, not a new religion. We've discovered everything we need to know already about spirituality, right?
Yeah, that's why your idea, Nobody, of having somebody come in and set up a mainstream religious church and get the exemption and then flip, basically, would be a smart way to do things. And I don't think Will Coley was going to do that, but he was setting up a mainstream religious church here, the mosque specifically. Will, who was a sometime co-host here on Free Talk Live, unfortunately, his dad fell quite ill down in Florida. He was in his 80s, and Will felt like he had to go down there with his whole family to take care of his father in his final days, and now feels like he has to stay there to take care of his mother until she dies. So we don't know when he's going to be returning. He says he's coming back. He still says that he's coming back. I spoke with him in late August about it. But that was part of the plan there, was that Will was going to file for a tax exemption on the property that the mosque was occupying to see if they would give Muslims the same level of difficulty that they had given the Shire Free Church.
Well, that would have been a very difficult case for them to win, too, because it would have been...
For who to win?
For this city to win, because, you know, it would look like Islamophobia if they didn't give it.
That's why it was a really interesting plan. Yeah. So I hope that someday that'll come to fruition.
Hey, if somebody's willing to finance the attorney, I can convert to Islam for a while. I don't mind. I'll go Jewish. I don't care.
Well, like I said, it's finding the attorneys. Now, I suspect in the Muslim community, they have attorneys. I bet they've got some folks that they know that they can go to, and, you know, they'll give them a good rate, and they know the sort of the territory. But it's hard when you are an upstart or a cult or whatever you want to call it, a small religion.
I'll try to pigeonhole somebody at the ACLU dinner.
Well, the ACLU doesn't focus on freedom of religion. That's like the ACLJ that would focus on freedom of religion.
No.
But the ACLJ is likely only going to deal with Christians.
The ACLU will deal with religion, too.
Okay, you'll have to find me some cases on that.
They've worked with the Satanists.
Oh, really?
They were the ones who worked to get the statue of Baphomet or whatever it was put up on the state house lawn next
their
to the
freedom,
crash scene.
Their freedom of religion is what they're fighting, not really a specific religion, obviously.
Well, the thing is, they're very much hostile to Christianity in general. They're not big fans of the Christians, but... They might like us. I think they did the thing with the Flying Spaghetti Monster Church, didn't they?
I think you might be right. That might have been a state, though, one, not the federal ACLU.
It might. NHCLU is not the same as the ACLU, too.
The NHCLU is part of the ACLU. They're the New Hampshire branch. There's more coming up here in moments. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can bring up what you want here on Free Talk Live.
You can be the smartest person in the room on the topic of the Constitution if you watch this free webinar. Liberty First University is online training on the principles of liberty and the origin, proper application, and defense of our founding documents and the principles they contain. You will receive an education worthy of the highest institutions of learning, as if the founders were teaching it. Join us at lfu.freetalklive.com to watch the free pre-recorded webinar. Watch now at lfu.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want. Our toll-free number for you is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Tonight, it's Ian.
And Chris.
And nobody.
And for a long time, liberty-minded folks have been looking for a business directory for people that care about freedom. And they finally have it in liberty.menu. It's a tool for the liberty community, and it's a directory for events, businesses, and digital content creators, and more. Listings can be rated and reviewed, and there's even a bit of a social networking aspect so you can connect and share with others. Go to liberty.menu, get signed up, get started over there. It's free to use this site, meaning that you want some free publicity for your business? Go to liberty.menu and get listed there. There's a map and listings, and you can pay a little bit and get an upgrade for your listing, but by default, the site's free at liberty.menu. You can use code FTL, get a special Free Talk Live listener badge, liberty.menu. So earlier tonight, we talked about Google possibly going to be encrypting their DNS service through their Chrome browser. And apparently, the part of the story we didn't really get into before we ended up sidetracked on a discussion about voting was the fact that the government goons in D.C. are apparently none too happy about this. Now, as we pointed out in our discussion, just because Google's encrypting the DNS, or that's their plan at least, that doesn't mean the government won't be able to access the data. They'll just have to subpoena Google for it rather than your local internet service provider. So it's not that the government's upset because they can't get to the data. It might be that they're just upset in general about it. Let's see here. According to the Wall Street Journal and Engadget.com reporting on this, the House Judiciary Committee is investigating Google's plans to implement DNS over HTTPS, which is the secure version of HTTP, in Chrome. That's their browser. While the Justice Department has, quote, recently received complaints, unquote, about the practice. While Google says it's pushing for adoption of the technology to prevent spying and spoofing, House investigators are worried this would give the internet giant an unfair advantage by denying access to users' data. So this they're coming at it from like an anti-competitive standpoint here. The House sent a letter on September 13th asking if Google would use the data handled through the process for commercial purposes. Google has maintained that its Chrome tweaks would give users control over who shares their info and that it won't force people to switch to encrypted DNS. That likely won't allay the telecom's fears. Internet service providers are worried they might be shut out of the data and won't know as much about their customers' traffic patterns.
Well, they already are having that problem with everybody using VPN these days.
Well, everybody.
I mean, that's like a little 10%. Bit of exaggeration, but do you have? I don't know. I don't recall exactly what the statistics are, but there is a high percentage of people using VPNs. Like,
really?
Like it is a huge. Huge industry. Like,
How high are we talking about?
I'm talking about major players. Like, a lot of major players are getting into the VPN game. Like, I'm talking about, like, ISPs even, and...
what's the point of having an ISP running a VPN?
Well, I mean, look, I'm not going to try and make that argument, you know. I think that's absolutely insane to go with you know, an antivirus company or your
that's
ISP.
That's what we call a bad plan. Yeah.
So, I mean, okay, so one of the the one ISP that I'm thinking of in particular is out of Sweden, and they basically do it because their government is they're a privacy-friendly ISP, and the government is forcing censorship, so they're basically giving or selling they're providing 6 months of free service to customers to go through a VPN, which
so
will enable
just to be
them-
clear. They're an ISP in Sweden, but they're marketing a VPN to worldwide users, to people coming in from outside.
I think anybody outside can use them, but no, the VPN that they're marketing is to their customers
to their
within
own
the country.
Because so people can get through the firewall of their
the censorship.
Country.
Yeah, they're trying to... Basically, they're actually, I'm not even sure that was the reason.
How can that work? If Sweden
it was a privacy issue because they are required to log the data for copyright holders.
But wait a minute. If Sweden is the government gang that's cracking down, how is a company based in Sweden able to get around that by saying, oh, well, now we're a VPN, so you don't have access
only
anymore?
So they still have to log. This is my understanding of it. And mm-hmm. the article is not 100% clear that I read. But effectively, mm-hmm. what the case is the telecommunications providers required to log internet traffic.
By the government of Sweden.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The DNS requests, basically, they've been based off of lawsuits from the copyright cartels, mm-hmm. have been forced into logging their internet users' traffic
right.
at the DNS level, okay? So every DNS request.
Yeah.
Okay? They don't want to do
wow.
that, but they have to. So now they're going to do that. But what they're doing, and they already offered VPN services previously in order to, you know, but then they kind of had a reprieve for a while where they didn't have to log, I guess, the traffic or something like this. So, but now they are, again, going to have to. And I'm not even sure if it's again, but there were other privacy issues that they were fighting. So that's why they had previously rolled out VPN. But for a while, they had won that one. So now that there's this other battle going on where they now have to start logging for, I think it's 10 months. Basically, they're going to have to keep those DNS basically every time you go to a website, there's a log of that now.
Mm-hmm.
That DNS request.
How is them running a VPN going to get around that requirement?
Because it's only, I guess,
it doesn't get around the logging requirement.
The court
I
order,
think.
It doesn't get around the logging requirement unless you go through the VPN. If that makes any sense.
So you're saying that they just didn't write the law,
right?
Well,
you don't
right?
know you can't log.
It's not. I don't even know that it's. I'm not even sure that it's a law. Like the article wasn't clear about this, but effectively, the judge has made the ruling that they have to log for 10 months,
mm-hmm.
and.
Except
it
for
only
the VPN.
Applies, right. It only applies to the internet connection,
well, they
not
can't
to the
log
VPN
the
service.
VPN. They can log what they can see.
Of course they could log the VPN.
They could, but they're not.
Some VPNs log.
Sure.
Some say they don't.
Well,
how do you know?
I think that most of them say they don't log.
If it's properly implemented, they at least can't log things as their I mean, they can't see inside the stream.
They're the ones providing the VPN. They can see every request that you make over the VPN.
Not necessarily. You could be running Tor over.
Well,
your
you can
VPN.
Run Tor. Okay.
Sure.
So hold on. So
VPN
I think this is
over your VPN.
There's a distinction between an internet service provider and a I don't even know how to phrase it, but a company providing services over the internet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so
legally,
right?
Uh-huh.
And that's the distinction. So the company providing services over the internet, which would be a VPN provider,
yeah,
it doesn't apply to this, whatever this ruling is. It only applies to
now. They could just change the ruling.
Then. Right.
Change
so,
the law.
So for at least for now,
okay.
this is why the ISP, again, this is an ISP that advertises as a privacy friendly ISP. And this is one of the few ISPs and probably the only ISP in Sweden, I think it was, where they're basically fighting. But you also have to remember that in other countries, there are more internet service providers than there are in the United States. So there's more competition. Which is why you end up with these probably a smaller ISP, but nonetheless niche ISPs focusing on a privacy, you know, a crowd of people mm-hmm. who like or prefer privacy.
So the story here is basically sounds like existing providers, ISPs, are the ones lobbying Congress to say, put a stop to Google. They're going to take away our data mining because they can currently, if you aren't using some sort of VPN, then currently your ISP is able to see every request you make for a website. They know which sites you're going to.
Yeah.
They can use that data. They can sell that data. And they're basically stomping their feet here saying, Google's going to take that away. Stop them, government. And that's what's coming in here is that you got the Justice Department, apparently, or the House Judiciary Committee investigating these plans. But according to Engadget.com, which has the story here, they say Google might not have that much to worry about, as they're not the only one pushing for DNS encryption. Mozilla also wants to use the format to secure DNS in Firefox. And the company's Marshall Irwin told the Wall Street Journal that the antitrust gripes are, quote, fundamentally misleading, unquote. ISPs are trying to undermine the standards simply because they want continued access to users' data, he said. Unencrypted DNS helps them target ads by tracking your web habits, and it's harder to thwart DNS tracking than cookies and other typical approaches.
Well, you know, there's something interesting about this. When you the companies that produce these browsers and they're traffic tunneling your traffic, your DNS requests over a secure connection, that doesn't mean your other requests are not going to your ISP. They would be. They'd still be going to your ISP.
IP address you're connecting to.
They can still see the IP. They can't see the domain name.
Though.
Right, right.
And therefore, they could still block those IPs in countries where there's blocks going on. They just would have to block by IP rather
of
than
that particular browser. Yeah,
yeah.
And or for any other types of applications that use DNS as well, which is any internet application that's not your browser.
There's more on the way here. Well, which is why you can change your DNS at your router level.
Right. I think they're right. Exactly. I think that's why I think they're going to fail in terms of an argument, legal argument here.
There's more coming up here in moments. When you say they're going to fail, you mean Google or the government?
The government. Or no.
More coming up. It is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want. Just dial toll-free here and take control of the airwaves. Our number, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Coming up, an Argentinian court earlier in this decade ruled that a orangutan has human rights. And now that orangutan is moving to the United States. What does all that mean? We can talk about it. Coming up here in moments, our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, and you can also join us on our Discord server over at discord.lrn.fm. Plus, want to make sure you know about balance of nature. Good nutrition is key to looking and feeling great, but eating right all the time can be a challenge. Travel and work can certainly get in the way. Or maybe you just don't have the desire or the time to shop and cook the right foods. Balance of Nature has a solution for you. With 3 of the Balance of Nature fruit capsules and 3 of their vegetable capsules, you get 10 servings of fruits and vegetables, and that's a lot of nutrition. You can go online and become a preferred customer, which gives you the best pricing and free shipping. And after your third month, Balance of Nature will ship to you at no charge an additional set of fruits and veggies. That's if you use code FTL in the discount code feature over at balanceofnature.com. It's a limited time offer. Balanceofnature.com, code FTL. Like Free Talk Live. As we continue here, we've been talking a little bit about technology. Chris, you were making a point right at the end of the last segment about who you thought was going to fail legally, but it wasn't clear who you were talking about. Can you go ahead and clarify what you're saying?
Yeah, let's see. So the internet service provider's argument, I think, is going to fail because
the one their argument saying, "Hey, Google's encrypting DNS and we don't like it."
I mean, effectively, it doesn't actually. It's only doing it one for the browser. Okay, so it's not doing it for anything else.
Well, they could encrypt it if they offered it on their DNS service, right? Because they have like, wasn't it 8.8.8.8 is the Google DNS?
You can hook up your system DNS. Use encrypted connections.
The problem though is they're saying this is anti-competitive when in reality that. It's not going to be the only DNS
that's
on the
nonsense.
System anyway.
Who's preventing the ISPs from providing the same thing? They can compete.
Well, here's the thing, right? And that's the thing. And they already are going to be providing DNS alongside Google because now you're going to have the browser doing its own DNS through Google, but your other DNS requests will still be going through your ISP. So it really is...
Unless you change your DNS at your router level, in which case every request would go through whoever you choose.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so this is the problem. They're actually all Google is really doing is they're not monopolizing. They're simply creating a competition in the market.
It's an option.
Right. Yeah. If you use you might end up, if you have Firefox and you have Google Chrome browser, you will actually be having three different DNS servers that you'll ultimately be sending your traffic through. One is your ISP. One is Mozilla's. Or actually, I think Mozilla might be using Cloudflare, but whatever it is. And then
that's
Chrome.
1.1.1.1.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chrome will be, well, I don't know if that's, yeah,
that's
I don't
Cloudflare.
Know.
Cloudflare.
I don't know what ports they're going to be running or if it's the same IP addresses or not.
Yeah,
but anyway, right. So there's ultimately all it's really going to be doing is opening up more competition in the marketplace. It's not going to be it's not really a monopoly at that point because they're not routing all traffic. They're only routing all DNS traffic. They're only routing traffic for their own browser through their DNS servers.
Yeah, for people who have this trouble identifying monopolies, look at the company you think that you think is a monopoly, and if somebody else is doing what they do, they're not a monopoly. And there's a lot of search engines, there's a lot of mail servers, there's a lot of things.
And here's the other thing, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of different DNS server providers out there. So the
barriers of entry are 3 hours of administrator time.
To become one,
maybe
you mean?
3 days to become another provider of encrypted DNS.
But the thing is, it takes 3 seconds for people to change their DNS, and people in other countries with censorship do this all the time.
That's right.
So the idea, you know, the idea that the only reason that most people are using their ISP provided DNS is because
that's the way it's default.
That's the default, yeah. And people in the United States don't have the censorship problem that other people in other countries
do. Not yet.
So. If you look at other countries, you know, what percentage of people are going through a VPN or doing a DNS change or something, you know, it's a lot higher.
If you want to see censorship, go to the courts in New Hampshire. They've got court provided internet.
Oh,
there's censorship on that.
You are probably the only other person I know who has noticed that.
Yeah.
Have you tried to go to like EFF or
I think Free Talk Live is blocked.
Have you tried?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think so.
Yeah.
Have you tried putting on a VPN?
Yes, and that can get around it.
Okay, I thought so.
Yeah, it's just interesting.
Although they do block some of the VPN ports and,
protocols.
Well, it's interesting because they're blocking legal, basically sites that are providing legal information for, for defendants, potentially, is what they're basically doing.
Yeah,
what they're doing. That would be...
And that seems like a conflict of interest... They're not obligated to offer internet.
Though.
They're not obligated, but to the extent that they do, it's a conflict of interest, I think.
It's an interesting argument.
Well, it does seem like to the extent that they're providing internet service, they should provide it equally.
Right, and given that it's a court of law that's supposed to be impartial.
Maybe they're only partially impartial.
Hey, speaking of internet access, here's another story that's related from Cord Cutters News. Their website
is that the gynecologist or the OBGYN?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think they're talking about cutting the cord as far as cable is concerned. But they say that the FCC this week won a court ruling saying the FCC can end net neutrality, which I thought they already did end net neutrality.
Well, they ended it and then they got sued, so apparently they won the case.
It's been going back and forth, I think, is what it's affecting.
Because I remember when Trump took office, one of the first things that happened was he reset the FCC board and they then undid net neutrality. But with the court ruling, the FCC's right to move the internet from a Title II service to Title I was confirmed. In short, this means the FTC now regulates the internet instead of the FCC. So the FCC is the Federal Trade Commission and the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission. So from the frying pan into the fire, I mean, is one really that different from the other? Is this something that people should be excited about? I do think
the FTC probably has less technical knowledge than the FCC, so I think it might actually be a win.
All right, hold on. So I want to back up because I actually have experience with the FCC. Anybody who thinks they have technical knowledge, you are deluding yourself.
Try using their website. It's awful.
The FCC, like if you get something certified, the FCC is not doing the certification.
You mean the device certification?
Yeah, like device certification. Mm-hmm. Like the FCC is not even doing that. They're a regulatory body. They don't have any idea on how to certify. Like they might make
decisions. Are they farming it out to somebody?
Yeah, so the way you like certification as far as devices is concerned is there are either you can do like some sort of self sort of testing if you have but usually you'll send it out to another organization, and there's these organizations exist all over the world. So like they have them in
are
China,
these, like, Underwriters Laboratories and that kind of place.
Something similar.
Probably not them specifically because they're insurance companies. But.
Yeah, not that specifically, but it might be the same labs that do that as well. We'll do those types of tests as well. And so they're set up. So even though it's a U.S. FCC is U.S. specific, right? Mm-hmm. Certification, but it's actually being done by third parties, not the government itself.
Not surprising.
So, and these entities exist in other countries like China, and it's actually cheaper to go through China than it is to go through a U.S. corporation to do the same thing.
Of course.
Oh, that's funny.
So you might pay $5,000 in the U.S. and you pay $2,000 in China.
Nice. So they said, quote, "We uphold the 2018 order with two exceptions," said the court in their ruling. They said further, "First, we conclude that the commission has not shown legal authority to issue its preemption directive, which would have barred states from imposing any rule or requirement that the commission repealed or decided to refrain from imposing in the order that is more..." I don't even know what this is saying. It's
basically,
such
it's saying that if the FCC is doing something and stops, or if the FCC chooses not to do something, the states cannot go and do that thing. But that's the road not taken. So apparently they are going to let the states regulate these things. That was my understanding of that. But it was kind of... It was thick, so I would be reading it a second time.
Yeah,
if I was
get through this legalese. I'm just going to jump ahead here. The federal FCC chairperson Ajit Pai released the following statement regarding the decision. This was a circuit court in D.C. upholding the Restoring Internet Freedom Order. Quote, "Today's decision is a victory for consumers, broadband deployment, and the free and open internet. The court affirmed the FCC's decision to repeal 1930s utility-style regulation of the internet imposed by the prior administration. The court also upheld our robust transparency rules so that consumers can be fully informed about their online options. Since we adopted the Restoring Internet Freedom Order, consumers have seen 40% faster speeds and millions more Americans have gained access to the internet. A free and open internet is what we have today and what we'll continue to have moving forward," he says.
Yeah, that's not what we have today, but it's freer than it was under net neutrality, a fraction.
Yeah, I tend to agree that net neutrality was not a good thing. We had a lot of discussion about it over the recent years here on Free Talk Live.
It's a double-edged sword. We don't have competition in the marketplace because of government
regulation.
And now we are trying to implement the only solution that's put on the table is regulation, which is not a good solution to the problem.
Right. What regulation stops us from doing mesh networking?
Nothing.
Exactly. No, there's definitely regulations that stop you from doing mesh networking.
Really?
The frequencies are regulated, of course.
Oh, transmission power and
things like that? Yeah, transmission power, all sorts of
different
things.
That's true. That definitely stands in the way. Yeah. More coming up here in moments. 855-450.
Chronic pain, stress and anxiety, fatigue or lack of focus, dependence on opioids or opiates. John Bush here, owner of Brave Botanicals, inviting you to try a free ounce of Kratom, the controversial plant remedy the government doesn't want you to know about. Why, you ask? Well, it's big competition for big pharma. From grandmothers cutting Oxycontin to keep up with their grandkids, to young adults kicking Adderall and quitting drinking, more Americans are turning to Kratom to help them through the day. But the government won't stop us. When the credit card companies kicked Kratom to the curb, I accepted e-checks and crypto. When Facebook shut down my ad account, I did podcast interviews and advertised on Free Talk Live. And now, to give a big F you to the man, I'm giving away Kratom for free. To get your free ounce of Kratom, go to freeounceofkratom.com, pay $5 shipping and handling, and I'll send you a free ounce. Visit freeounceofkratom.com to claim your free ounce today. That's freeounceofkratom.com.
It is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want. Just take control of the airwaves by dialing in toll-free at 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms. They're over at discord.lrn.fm. And there's also chat people talking with one another. Participants, they are there throughout the day and the night, 24 hours a day. The Discord server is open and available to you. There's voice chat rooms. There's also text chat rooms, and you can interact with other Free Talk Live listeners there. I heard recently that some of our chatters are going to start their own show together.
Really?
So I thought that's kind of a cool idea. I don't know if it'll be any good, but they're going to try it, and that's the only way to find out, you know?
Interesting.
It's a lot of work to create like an interesting kind of show.
It is, and it's going to be even harder if they're doing it over remote connections with one another.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Like, you know, we have trouble talking over top of one another in this studio.
Do it all the time. We're doing it right now.
Well, we do it now, but at least we have the instant feedback of knowing when it's happening, and we can hopefully stop from doing it.
Yeah.
But if you're on an internet connection with somebody, you
with
can't
latency,
see
right?
them.
High, especially if it's high latency.
Yeah. And you've got latency.
Skype is a good idea if you're doing something like that. Get a video.
But you still have latency with it. So you still, the listener on the other end, they're going to hear a lot more crosstalk over something
Most of your internet connections aren't like low latency internet connections. They're high latency. And if it's like cable, it's going to be high. If it's ADSL, it might even be higher.
Well, better latent than never.
Well, it's true. I'm not telling them not to do it. I'm not telling saying don't try it. I mean, it could work out really well, yeah. So give it a shot, see what happens. But that's kind of cool because a lot of our listeners who didn't know one another before mm-hmm. are able to connect with one another now and, you know, build relationships and hang out. And that's what's happening mm-hmm. on our Discord server. So head on over to discord.lrn.fm. Let's talk a little more about net neutrality. You were touching on something right as we went away in the last hour, Chris, and that is the idea that so the news, by the way, is that net neutrality is over. Officially, it's over. There's been a court decision to say that the FCC withdrawing from the net neutrality regulation is over. But one of the points you made
What court was it?
It was only a circuit court. So
it may not be over.
Yeah, it may not be over. It's over for now. Like they, as far as I understand, the court didn't put a stay against the removal of net neutrality. So it's over, right?
Right.
Like they didn't stop the stopping of net neutrality. Net neutrality was stopped, and now they're still fighting about it. But,
yeah.
So anyway.
I mean, I stop at night, but I wake up in the morning, so I'm not over.
True. But net neutrality as a policy was ended. It was killed. A current policy. So, and the idea behind net neutrality was, oh, well, we need net neutrality because there aren't enough options and these internet service providers have too much power. But the point you were making, Chris, was that that's because of government regulation in the first place.
Right.
So having more government regulation to solve the problems that the government regulation originally created is not the solution.
Yeah, I mean, my opinion on this, and I think it differs a little bit from your guys' opinion on this and other libertarians I don't know about all libertarians, but certainly, and I think this is an issue that certainly is open for debate. More so than other issues when it comes to libertarian, you know, kind of debates. But I think the end of the day, I don't think we have a good solution other than net neutrality.
No,
on the
solution is to get rid of the regulations that stop competition.
Right. And I had a choice.
That's the libertarian solution.
Right. I totally agree with you.
Right.
The problem is, I think that, given what's on the table, right, we don't have that option, right? And I don't know. I'm very skeptical that if we were to say, okay, let's get rid of the net neutrality regulations as they are, mm-hmm. and let's say let's get rid of them, right? I suspect that we're not going to end up with a system where they get rid of the regulations that are hindering ISPs from starting up or competing, and it still doesn't.
Well,
really
that is
undo.
One of the regulations that's hindering ISPs from starting up.
Net neutrality.
Well, I would think so, yeah.
It certainly is.
I mean,
it's
a complex issue, and it means that you have to have half a dozen lawyers to talk to every time you make a business decision.
Yeah, you know, it does open up a big question mark. More regulation, yeah. It does have costs.
It's a huge legal risk for people, especially because it's a new law. Nobody really knows how it would be enforced.
Yeah, I mean, this is what makes starting a business so difficult. There's regulations that are set up to hinder companies from getting, you know, off the ground, the small companies. And there's also the other, and it's not even just those regulations that exist, because people are forgetting about the fact that once you have not even a monopoly necessarily, but any kind of entrenched industry, right? Any industry that exists for any length of time starts to actually advocate for things that are against its own interest, at least seemingly so. And they do
against
that
the interest
against
of the consumer.
Its own interests or against the interest of other players in the same market.
Right, right. Well, hold on. Let me finish.
And by proxy, the consumer.
Right. And this is exactly. So, and I'll give you an example. So, we have companies like Facebook, for example. You know, they're getting up there and saying, well, you know, for a long time we don't want, you know, all these regulations, but now they want the regulations because most likely it's because that those regulations hinder smaller companies to come out and compete with them.
Well,
so
the other
it makes
thing
sense
is
to argue
the,
for them.
Well, the other thing is if there's a regulation saying that they have to, say, censor people or whatever, then that takes the responsibility off them for doing what they want to do anyway.
Yeah, I mean, this is in the case with internet service providers is we actually are inheriting, we're inheriting duopolies in the United States as a result of effectively, the only reason we even have a duopoly in the United States, in most places, and this is not necessarily the case in every city because some cities didn't do this, but it's pretty
common,
unusual that you'll find a city that has more than two ISPs, high speed internet providers,
cable company, phone company,
right? Cable company and phone company, and the reason we have a cable company is because when telephone companies were never in the television business. They were in the telephone business back in the 80s, okay, when cable companies came around. So the telephone companies didn't fight the cable companies, at least in the United States. So we ended up with cable television rollouts. But one of the things that cable companies didn't want is competition within their own market. So what they did is they went to city governments and they said, hey, we're only going to roll out cable lines in your community if you give us a 10-year monopoly or something of that nature.
Now, the correct answer to this is, that's okay. We'll wait for somebody else to do it.
That should have been the response, but that's not the response.
Because there's money on the table.
Right. Mm. So ultimately, what ended up happening is these companies got these 10-year monopolies. But the reason they wanted the 10-year monopolies, now the argument was, well, we want to earn back the money that we invested into this. It's huge infrastructure.
It's a lot of rollout.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's nobody, you can't argue against it because this is absolutely true. Yeah. The problem with this argument is that by doing that, you ensure that whatever business that comes later that tries to get into the market they're not able to compete on a fair and level playing field, because that investment now has already been paid off by the cable company that got there first.
Right.
And any other company that wanted to enter that market now has this huge investment cost they have to make, and they cannot offer the prices, competitive prices, because they were not allowed to enter that same market at a time in which the other competing company had basically no competition. So that's basically how we ended up with a duopoly or a monopoly when it came to cable TV.
That's right.
And it actually was there's actually, up until I think 2008, there was actually a law that, and here's the other thing, the laws that were supposed to protect us from the cable company monopolies, actually they got rid of those in like 2008, I believe it was. And basically what it did was it limited the rate in which they could increase the prices for cable television or something like that. Mm. And they got rid of those laws. So, but now we have the problem of, well, we only have two different physical infrastructure providers that have any kind of capability of providing high-speed internet. And ends up being the telephone company and the cable company. So that's kind of that's how we ended up in the situation today, where there's no other options for high-speed internet providers in the United States.
Well, actually, I was down on, I think it was Court Street.
Again, in most places.
The other day, and they're advertising gigabit internet for businesses.
This is the cable company. We have it here.
I don't think it's the cable company. They're right up on Court Street. It looks like a private ISP.
Oh, you're
looking.
Saying it's a private company doing it? They might be riding on the fiber, the government provided fiber in town.
They might be, but they do exist.
They're state fiber.
I want to look
into
them.
There's like four different companies that piggyback on top of the state provided fiber. That's probably what it is, but you should check them out and we'll find out more about it. Anyway, more coming up here. You can join us. It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want. If you dial toll-free, that's how you do it, 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. Although I got to say, I would prefer if you called on our Discord server over at discord.lrn.fm, just because you'll sound better. And if you sound better, you're more pleasant to listen to. And we might want to keep you on for longer, just depending. That's your best chances is to be on the Discord server. But the toll-free numbers are there for you if you want to use them. You can join us online anytime you want over at freetalklive.com. And by the way, big thanks going out to Kylan Eckert, who is a Free Talk Live Silver Amplifier. You can go to amp.freetalklive.com, and that's where you can sign up for the AMP program to help Free Talk Live get on more radio stations around the United States. We're on over 200 stations today. Not today, but over the whole week. We don't have all 200 tonight, but over a whole week, we're on over 200 stations. And we could be on 300. We could be on 400. It's possible, but it does take money. It does take effort. And the AMP program helps us accomplish that. You get some perks as well, like Kylan has done. He's a silver amplifier, which means he's doing $5 a month, over at amp.freetalklive.com. Had a couple people sign up for the Discord server and send me a message saying, hey, I'm an amplifier. Can I get my upgrade? And of course, yes is always the answer, as long as you know you're actually an amplifier. And then you will get an upgrade, and then you can access the special chat rooms for supporters on our Discord. There's some other perks, like there's a Facebook group for amplifiers. It's still fairly busy from what I'm told. I have not been there in about 2 years since I quit Facebook at the end of 2017, but some people still use it, and so that's there for you. And there's some other perks as well. Just go to amp.freetalklive.com. You can sign up with PayPal, credit card, or Bitcoin BTC. It's ampamp.freetalklive.com. We go to Michigan, where Tom is watching us on Twitch. Go ahead, Tom.
Oh, it's James.
Oh, go ahead.
Rather use the Discord chat.
Yeah? Well, there's no reason why. Oh, that's right. You're banned from the call-in lines. I guess I can unban you from...
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Why would that be?
Well,
why
because
was I banned from the call-in lines?
Because you were banned until I unbanned you.
Because you're an idiot.
Why was I banned, Minister Freeman? Do you remember?
Because made uncomfortable by your constant threats.
No, that's a lie. And I'm not threatening Mark Edgington.
You're not threatening Mark Edgington? You didn't threaten
him? Well, that's a first. Well, I think that's a lot of personal growth for you.
It was Jack that he threatened, right? Or has he also threatened Mark directly?
He's threatened their whole family.
He's mostly threatened Mark, but he's also threatened Jack.
I have already asked, or his advice is never going to be the same. Rich Paul, you're more than welcome to take all that.
Yeah, come at me, bro. I am so sick of listening to you weakling just hiding behind a phone. Why don't you come up here and throw with me if you think you can, and I will wipe you all over the road.
For those who don't know who this guy is, this is a crazy caller who basically goes and threatens like 7 and 8, 9 year old boys that are sons of some of the hosts on this show.
The guy's a leech and a parasite.
The fact that we're letting him on at all, and he's not taking the opportunity to like actually have a conversation about something other than himself.
Well, sure you have. You called up and you started whining a minute you got on the phone. So how about you call up and say something intelligent?
That's your topic,
sometime,
dude. That's your topic.
And we'll let you keep going.
If you have a different topic, bring up the topic.
There must be something you can do besides whine.
First of all, all I did was respond to Ian Freeman, and you guys started talking over me. That is a fact.
What's
and
your topic?
Oh, pobrecito. Qué lástima, qué triste.
What is your topic? What's your topic?
Ian Freeman?
No. What's your topic?
Ian's your topic?
Let me answer that question rather than you butt in instantly when after you ask the question, which is the way you do things with people that you don't like and don't want to hear from because you're not really a minister and that isn't a church.
What is your topic?
But
I think most ministers have people they don't like.
What is your topic? How many times do I have to repeat myself? What is your topic?
I'm answering.
Keep repeating yourself till he isn't stupid.
As you monopolize the show when I call in, and every decent, truthful listener would say that that's exactly what you three have done when James called in. But you remind me of the world's most successful con man and most powerful person on the world who literally tells a lie in one sentence, says he didn't tell a lie in the next sentence, then repeats the lie.
See, he doesn't. He's not even bringing up his topic. How many minutes do I have to wait to hear a topic from you, dude?
His topic is complaining about the show.
Whining about not getting enough airtime and taking up a whole lot of airtime.
Every time he calls in, that's
airtime.
That's all he ever talks about.
A bag of hammers.
Oh, is he still there?
He's still there.
And then you say you apologized about for it.
Yeah, you really do need to call in on Twitch because, my God, your cell phone sounds terrible.
I kind of like not being able to hear him that well.
Well, I am going to unban him from the Twitch call-in lines just because, you know, he'd sound better if he was issuing his threats.
And if he wasn't so twitchy.
Twitch. And he's just a man who is sad and obsessed. And
too cowardly to come face me in the ring.
I wish we had a different word to use other than ban, because I'm not a big fan of that word.
Well, what do you mean?
He's
not banned. He's unbanned.
Yeah,
he was banned.
I know, but you know, using the word ban kind of makes it sound like we ban people when we disagree with them.
No.
And it gives the wrong impression to people who are listening, right?
Well, I've explained, and I will explain again, the reason he was banned, but maybe it was hard because he was talking over me. or
but he's
trying
not really
to.
Banned. He's just he's been
no. He was.
Well, he was banned. He
temporary.
Was
banned. Okay, temporarily.
He was
banned
for like more than a year.
Temporarily, still.
Right, but
well,
it was
we
only
thought he would go away by now.
Well, when he does, well, when he follows the rules, well, he's allowed on.
No, he was banned because he would not follow the rules, and he kept issuing threats. And it was to the point where Mark would take his headphones off. It was when Mark and Daryl were the two of the primary hosts on the show.
Right.
Daryl has since left and retired from radio. But they would take their headphones off in protest and basically mutiny from the airwaves. Mm. And I had to make the choice. Do I want to keep this, you know, threatening guy calling in and lose my co-hosts? Or do I want to make it so my co-hosts don't feel uncomfortable on the air? And I went ahead and issued the ban. I don't care what he says personally. It doesn't bother me. I don't care. But, you know, if it's bothering my other guys that are on the air so much that they're basically walking off the air during the call. I mean, they didn't get out of leave the room, but they took
their headphones
off.
I know. I've seen it. I've been here when they've done it.
And so now that Mark's not on the show, you know, a lot of the nights of the week or a few of them, I figured, all right, well, we'll unban James from the show, which means, James, you don't have to lie to our call screener and tell him your name is Tom in Michigan. You can just be honest. You know,
isn't this the guy who's always complaining about other people lying?
I can't speak, Rich Paul. I've always been honest.
No, you
haven't.
You lied to the call screener tonight. Right. You're lying right now.
You lie every time
Jesus.
You call in.
You're not even acquainted enough to the truth to be with the truth to be aware of it when you're lying.
Thanks for the call tonight. We'll unban him from the Discord call-in.
You're still unbanned from the ring too. Come on, bro. You and me, mano a mano.
Now he still
or mano a moron.
He still can't call in when Mark or well, I guess just Mark at this point.
No, he can call in, but I'm pretty sure Mark's gonna hang.
Yeah,
up on
okay. Get dumped, when Mark's on.
All right. So any other days he can call in.
Yeah, and Mark, by the way, has a catalog of all the threats that James has issued. So when he says he hasn't threatened, he's also lying. Yeah. Or maybe he's just
check
so drunk.
Check out the things James Whitaker says page
James
on Whitakind. Facebook.
Yeah.
Whitakind, whatever his name is.
I suspect that he's so drunk when he issues the threats that he may honestly not believe that he's issued a threat simply because he doesn't remember when, you know, what he was doing at the time because he
well,
was so
S-faced.
Well,
stop being a drunken parasite, James.
Well, he doesn't appear to know how to do anything else. 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. You can bring up what you want here on Free Talk Live.
Do you have a crypto wealth advisor or coach? If so, has your cryptocurrency advisor been investing in technology stocks for over 20 years? Have they left the corporate world and retired? Or are they still trying to make a weekly paycheck? Have they produced six-figure results for their customers in the past 30 days? And very importantly, are they a member of the Digital Currency Council? Seth Maniscalco is the founder of Crypto Wealth Coach and CryptoWealthCoach.com. Seth invested in his first Roth IRA at 19 years old while living abroad and has been investing in Wall Street and technology for over 20 years with experience in all the money markets. By comparison, so many of these so-called crypto gurus have barely been alive for 20 years. Seth has not only experienced personal success from his own investments in crypto, he has also helped his clients earn six and seven figure incomes, including helping investors make over $750,000 in EOS in 90 days and 1,225% in only 5.5 months with Chainlink. Seth has help for the small do-it-yourself guy on Up to Crypto Whales. Increase your wealth. Visit CryptoWealthCoach.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can dial toll-free. Join us here on the radio. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. And if you want to talk to James in Arizona, you can go hang out in the toxic chat room on our Discord server, which is basically his own personal room. Although there have been other people added to the toxic user category,
wow.
he's the primary one. We made a room just for him because
I wonder if it's. Did you see the Rick and Morty where they like separated the toxic part of themselves from the healthy part of themselves? I was just thinking maybe James is somebody's toxic part.
Ooh.
Maybe there's like a good James wandering around.
Well,
out
he
there
has
somewhere.
A brother who's apparently like a successful attorney.
Oh, wow.
That could be it.
Is that,
maybe they only had one human brain between the two of them. His brother got the lion's share.
All I can think of is this is how he's managed to stay out of some sort of like mental health facility.
It's because of his brother?
It's because of his brother who's an attorney.
I don't know if they get along.
Yeah,
I'm not
I don't
sure
know
about
either.
That.
I think it's because he lets off all his steam calling here and being an idiot.
Yeah, maybe. Hey, so, it's better that than him actually committing violent acts on people. So
yeah, well, true. Except for us.
Well, he's never committed a violent act. He's never committed a violent act on any of the hosts.
No, it's just not good for us when we have to listen to his nonsense.
Okay, but let's not confuse. Threats of violence with actual violence.
Well,
big difference.
No, what I was saying was, you said it's good that he's not doing that, and I said, well, it's good except for us. Or I meant it's good except for us, not that he's not being violent except for us.
Well, and plus, a real threat is a pretty serious thing. Like, if somebody's an actual threat, and Mark takes him seriously.
The thing is,
it's hard to take him seriously, though.
I agree.
It is hard to take him seriously, but at the same time, some of these lunatics do snap after a while. You've got your, Mark Chapman. And I'll tell you what, if I had a wife and a child, I would probably have had James whacked by now.
And that's one of the reasons why Mark is so concerned.
I think
that's
a bit
different
extreme,
matter
but...
because that's I only have, the level of responsibility to myself avoiding discomfort now. And, I have no problem betting that I can take James. But if I had to bet my wife and my child that I could take him, I would make sure I would win that by creeping up behind him before he had a chance.
I think as long as James stays outside of this vicinity of this area, I would not consider any threats that he makes, legitimate threats.
Well, I mean, I don't consider his threats particularly legitimate because I'm certain I can take him, but
I don't think that has anything to do with
it. I mean, boy, like a redheaded stepchild.
Somebody who's making like actual legitimate threats of violence against you, it's not. Last I checked, we don't have like robots that will just like otherwise he somehow demonstrates an ability to have an effect on us here in the studio, or outside the studio for that matter. It's not a legitimate threat. It's not a real threat. It's letting off steam, and there's a huge
just
difference.
Sad little man.
Right.
That's
it's a huge.
It
there's a huge
sad,
difference
drunken.
Between the two.
Well, until he goes all astronaut and drives across the country in diapers, and
that assumes he can drive.
That's true. You know, he might well be too drunk.
In all the years he's been calling into the show, it seems a bit of a stretch to think that he might even remotely do something like that.
Let's go to David.
Lunatics do crazy things.
He's on the line in New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live, listening via the TuneIn app.
Hey, me too. Well, you're unbanning from using the Discord. Unban me from using
Dude,
it.
Nobody is banned from the Discord. You complained about this previously, and you were told that you're not banned from the Discord.
And if you keep saying you're banned from the Discord, we're going to ban you from the Discord.
Well, that's the thing. Nobody gets banned from the Discord. You were originally
banned from the Discord.
You were originally banned from the Discord because you came in there and you started saying the N-word over and over and over again in the main chat room. And at that time,
what are you, defective?
At that time, we didn't have the.
I was imitating your trolls.
Okay, well, whatever you were doing, it was against the rules at the time, and as a result, you were banned.
Oh, no, David.
We've since. I'm going to put you on hold so I can explain what happened here. We got to have rules on the Discord because we don't want it to be a place where somebody comes in for the first time and they see somebody trashing it up with a bunch of insults, with slurs, ethnic slurs, right in the main chat room. And this is still not welcome in the main chat room. However, what I've changed since the time that you're complaining about is we got rid of banning and we created the toxic user zone. So if you come into the Discord and become a toxic user, which previously would have gotten you banned, you will instead just be set to the toxic user category, and then you get to play in the room for the toxic users with James. And that's not a ban. You still have the freedom to say...
Oh, wow. What if we could get those two to fight? Get this guy to fight James.
Yeah.
That would be hilarious.
They live nearby each other, New Mexico and Arizona.
It's pretty close.
This is
does each state get issued one of these guys? Or
this is how you end up becoming like ended up in legal trouble because you're like contributing to their violent acts between each other. That's just not somewhere I want to go.
Well, I don't think they've done any violent acts between
each
other. I just think it would be hilarious
if you're going to set them up to fight, right?
all of a sudden, I'm not going to set him up to do anything. I'm just going to plant seeds in defective minds and see what grows.
Yeah, see, you're going to end up getting in hot water with the legal system, because they're going to end up going at each other in the real world.
No, it's not going to happen.
Well, you said they're close together.
Encouraging a fight isn't the same thing as a criminal act. If you encourage two people to voluntarily fight, then...
Well, I'm encouraging them to spar. So
isn't there? Isn't
I think
there
they should
something,
have a good time with that.
Isn't there something in the law? There's a legal term that like says something like if you are inciting violence,
inciting a riot, or something of that nature, two people fighting isn't inciting a riot.
No, it's not. But,
I mean, when you think about it, what's his name? Don King.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he sets up fights every day.
Well, and there are states that have licenses when it comes to having a boxing match or something
like that.
New
York has licenses for everything.
Right, but that's an exception within the law, probably, for inciting violence or something to that effect.
Mutual combat isn't legal. Hold on. Mutual combat isn't legal in a lot of states. However, if you're encouraging people to engage in mutual combat, I think it'd be a tough charge to bring upon you, because you're not actually one of the combatants in that case. If you're standing outside of a bar and two people are at odds with one another and you start chanting fight, I don't think that there's anything they can come at you with, because that's just freedom of speech in that case.
Well, you would think, but I would suspect that there's probably a law against it, even though it violates the Constitution.
You better find the name of the law.
There have been cases where people have been convicted of various things for egging malefactors on, but it's pretty rare. It has to be a pretty...
I believe you on that.
I think it's mostly people who stood by and cheered rapes.
I suspect it's not a typical conversation. You know what? I'll give you an example of probably what I'm thinking of that does happen that I've seen. A lot of the hate crime laws, where if somebody is not actually beating up on the other person, but they're with the people who are beating up on the other person, they'll get charged with a hate crime law.
Which really doesn't make sense if they didn't do anything.
Right.
That's guilt by association, sorts of things. Is unfortunate thinking.
Yeah.
The funny thing is that's what
I
leads,
mean. I'm against those laws,
to, yeah.
but yeah.
David, yeah, but they do the... so just to be clear, there's no ban on you or anyone else on the Discord server.
To answer Rich Paul's question, yes, each state gets assigned one of these. New Hampshire has Rich Paul.
Well, I guess New Hampshire got the better end of the deal.
I don't know. That's up for debate. That is very debatable.
Well, we'd love to have you call in on the Discord server. You'll sound a lot better if you do it there. Just don't get yourself put in the toxic zone by being toxic. It's simple.
And it wasn't an ethnic slur. It was a racial slur.
Whatever you want to call it. It was not welcome. Thank you for the call. Toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. So if you want to be, you know, despicable on the Discord server, then there's a room for you. You won't be banned. You'll just be put in your room.
Is that a room you can actually join?
Yes. Anyone can go.
Yeah, you can go in there and visit the loonies if you want.
You can tag Mouth-Breathing Dullar. That's James's username. There are people in there tagging him right now as we're speaking. They like to talk to him. They like to try to talk sense to him sometimes. They like to show him offensive photos in other times.
I just want to spar with him.
Well, I don't think you're going to get
your wish on that
one.
Maybe next time I'm in Arizona.
Well, you can find his address.
Oh,
there's more coming up here in moments.
Don't go there.
855-450-FREE, like freedom. It's Free Talk Live. You can dial in toll-free here. Bring up anything you want. The latest on the Facebook Libra currency. Looks like a major backer is now backing out. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Chris.
And nobody.
Speaking of real cryptocurrencies, not the Facebook imitation, you can get the Edge wallet on your favorite iOS or Android-based device, and it'll allow you to buy, sell, trade, and securely hold cryptocurrencies of various types. They got a few dozen in there. Bitcoin Cash, of course, Ethereum, Dash, various tokens, Monero, Ripple, Stellar, Ravencoin, and of course, the original Bitcoin, BTC. You can secure your freedom with Edge. Edge Wallet. Go to edge.app to learn more about the product. I think it's great. It's the wallet that I use more often than any other, and I do use multiple wallets, so I have experience with a bunch of them, and there's reasons why Edge is my top choice, and it's not because they're a sponsor. They were already my top choice before they became a sponsor here on Free Talk Live. They're the great sponsor because of that. So edge.app, that's the website, and just download it from your favorite Google or Apple App Store. Let's go to Patrick. He's in Bullhead, Arizona, listening to K-Talks. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, guys. Hey. You were talking about the laws when you see a fight and everything.
Yeah.
I know from experience that I know out here where I'm at, the one thing they'll try to get you on is loitering.
What? For fighting?
Encouraging people to fight.
Encouraging people to fight. Also, if there's a group, you know, people like to circle around people who fight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they can get you for holding a person against his will, for not allowing them out. That's been used in the past. Because, you know, people...
Well, and rightly so. If you're blocking somebody's escape, that's not
disorderly
good.
Conduct in that case.
It's not only disorderly conduct, it's the tort of assault.
Yeah, if you're actually preventing somebody from leaving a circle or something like that,
yeah.
You know, in conjunction with other people.
If he's trying to go somewhere and you push him back, assaulted him.
What is the penalty or the charge for mutual combat in Arizona, Patrick?
Well, it depends on severity. And if there's weapons used in that particular case, they can go from a misdemeanor to a felony,
mm-hmm.
depending on the charge. Hate crimes are a big thing now. I mean,
well, now, hate crime isn't going to be mutual combat. That I'm talking about when two guys are squaring off with fists, and all they want to do is fight each other, and they both are consenting to the fight. Maybe they're fighting over a girl or some other stupid crap. What's the charge for that? Because I know in some states, I think it's Washington State, there's actually no charge, or it's just a violation. It's not like a big deal.
It's a violation.
It really
here.
Isn't. We get a lot of, we get a disturbing of the peace, mm-hmm. and to make it fair when we're writing the tickets, what happens is we usually write it for both parties. It's not going to be this person started it or not, because it's really too hard to do it, because when you pull up on
you
something
don't know.
Like that, you have no idea what was said. Everybody's going to tell you if they were the victim, you know. So mm-hmm. you write it like that. But most cases, it turns out to be if they have a history of it, yes. If they're known for, they have other charges against them that are violent, It may get to 3 months. It could be 3 months in jail, depending on the severity of how, you know, they got in or how they injured this person or what they did. Once a person was on the ground and you're kicking them and you got boots on, you're actually using a weapon.
Ooh,
so
yeah.
You can get them on all sorts of stuff. And, you know, it's 9 times out of 10 when you pull up, man, they automatically stop.
But in case it wasn't clear, Patrick is a police officer in Arizona.
I was starting to think so.
It's been a while since you've called.
I haven't heard from you guys for a while.
Well, it works the other way around. We've been on the air.
If
we
you turn
heard
on
from
the
you.
Radio at the right time, you'll hear from us.
my shift got changed. I do apologize. I've been working a lot of early mornings.
It's always nice to hear from you. I really appreciate the expertise as always, Patrick. Thank you for the call tonight. I definitely appreciate it.
And don't forget, you can download the podcast and listen to it as you work, even if we're not on the air.
We'd rather have cops listening to us as they they do whatever. But he's one of the better ones. You know, there's some officers out there that do have a conscience and that mm-hmm. don't target people for victimless crimes if they can avoid it. And I think
yeah,
Patrick's
but mostly
one of those
they get Serpico'd.
Well, it depends.
You know, I'm glad this guy didn't.
Yeah, some departments are worse than others when it comes to that, that's for sure. So since we've been talking tech throughout the show, I just saw this one, actually, while we were kind of during our recent break. I saw this one pop up on Google News feed about the Facebook so-called cryptocurrency, the Libra, which, of course, doesn't exist yet. The more recent stories that I've seen about this, so we haven't actually talked about the Libra in probably several weeks, in any amount of detail, But some of the headlines recently have been that it may take the Facebook longer than what they planned to come out with this. So they were originally talking about May of next year, or, you know, like the first half of 2020 to release this currency. Now, rumor is it's going to be going longer than that. Of course, the government gang is trying to get in the way. They're trying to intimidate Facebook into not coming out with their so-called crypto. And the latest news here, and some of the other headlines, have been that some of these companies that had backed it, there are 28 corporate backers like MasterCard and Visa and Uber and PayPal, were some of the partners of this thing. Looks like PayPal has now announced they are backing out of the project in an announcement made today. The story coming from CNBC, PayPal, quote, has made the decision to forego further participation in the Libra Association at this time and to continue to focus on advancing our existing mission and business priorities as we strive to democratize access to financial services for underserved populations, they said.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm an underserved population now that PayPal cut off my account because
That's
they
right.
don't like people trading in cryptocurrency. So can you say anti-competitive practices? Sure.
Yeah.
I knew you could.
It seems so bizarre to see, you know, PayPal, like, if they want to target the unserved market, right, they've got to get around the regulations, because if they don't get around the regulations, well, guess what? They're going to have to continue to cut people off.
That market is illegal to serve.
Well, but they're not going to stop obeying the regulations because they live and die based on them. They have to
Okay, sure.
The regulations are what give them their competitive advantage.
Libra effectively was a tool effectively to get around that to some degree, right?
Well, certainly. Yeah, that was part of the intention,
right.
I think.
So
I don't know if it was, because they never intended to have this be a distributed thing that couldn't be controlled by government. Everything they do is centralized and controlled by government.
Probably to some degree it would allow them to skirt some of the regulations to serve that untapped market, whereas they can't do that with, you know, their current technology.
David Marcus, who leads the Libra project at Facebook, was previously the president of PayPal. PayPal said that it is still, quote, supportive of Libra's aspirations, unquote, and that it will continue to partner with Facebook in the future. Dante Disparte, the head of policy and communications for the Libra Association, said in an emailed statement, quote, we recognize that change is hard and that each organization that started this journey will have to make its own assessment of risks and rewards of being committed to seeing through the change that Libra promises, unquote. So Libra was greeted with widespread criticism after the cryptocurrency was announced in June. Facebook's involvement caught the attention of senior Congressional Finance Committee members, global regulators, former lawmakers, and industry insiders who questioned Facebook's motives.
Not to mention anybody who is smart enough not to want a company that thrives on selling your information to be privy to every financial move you make.
Well, I am not a huge fan of Facebook. There's no doubt about it. I quit back in late 2017. Actually, it was New Year's Eve when I decided I was going to stop using Facebook, and it was the right choice for me. However, I support their choice to make this so-called cryptocurrency. I question whether it'll actually be a cryptocurrency, but they're saying it is. They've got a white paper out that claims that it is. It's not particularly distributed or decentralized. You can only be a node on the network if you pay $10 million, and then you can join their little club.
Oh, yeah, you can tell they're working on those underserved markets. The underprivileged people.
But the one thing that I like about what they're doing is how much it has rustled the jimmies of the central banks of the world. Here's a quote from Jerome Powell, who's the current Federal Reserve chairman. This is the new, you know, Greenspan, right? This is the new Bernanke.
Wow.
He said this summer, quote, that Libra raises serious concerns regarding privacy, money laundering, consumer protection, financial stability. And further, that the Fed has launched a working group to examine it. So the federal government is not a fan of what Facebook is doing. And because of that, I kind of like it.
The enemy of my enemy is not always my friend.
This is true. I'm not saying I want to buy a bunch of Libra.
I don't like the Libra, but I do like that they're kind of giving the finger to the government.
So far, I mean, how much they're going to give the finger, we'll see. They may end up having to kiss their butt in order to come out with this thing. We'll see you tomorrow night. You can join us online. In the meantime, freetalklive.com. Check these guys out tomorrow at freedomdecrypted.com.
Hey, everyone. This is Charlie Shrem. You've seen me on the Netflix documentary, Banking on Bitcoin, and the new best-selling book, Bitcoin Billionaires. I want to invite you to join me on my new show, Untold Stories for a deep dive into crypto history with the people who made that history. Together, we'll explore the personalities and events that gave rise to Bitcoin and the crypto revolution, the innovation, the collaboration, the battles, and the busts. You'll have a front row seat to the early days of crypto up to today, and you'll hear from the folks who lived through it and survived to drive this movement mainstream. Untold Stories looks back to reveal what inspired some of the greatest minds on Earth to come together to create this technology and change the future for everyone. So join me and my guests, the techies and the traders, the entrepreneurs and the innovators, as we explore our past and understand what that means for the future. Listen now on UntoldStories.com. That's UntoldStories.com.
Bitcoin.com has launched a trading platform at local.bitcoin.com, allowing you to buy or sell Bitcoin Cash via dozens of payment methods like PayPal, Venmo, bank deposit, remittances, or meeting in person with cash. There are no ID requirements to sign up for and use the site, and all communications between buyers and sellers are encrypted. Finally, a global trading platform that respects your privacy. Visit local.bitcoin.com to get started trading Bitcoin Cash. Local.bitcoin.com.